This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Bottle feeding, breastfeeding, baby-led weaning, controlled crying, self-settling, screen time, smacking, timeout, food additives, nature play. These are just some of the minefields that modern parents negotiate on a daily basis. Is it possible that we fail to see the forest because of all the trees? Harriet Connor is a wife, mother, and Bible teacher who says we just need to step back and consider the bigger picture. Her book is called Big Picture Parents, Ancient Wisdom for Modern Life. It's shortlisted for the Christian Book of the Year Award. Congratulations on that one, Harriet.
Thanks. Yeah, it's been really exciting to see the response to the book so far.
Now, take us back to when you first became a parent. What did you find most difficult?
I found it really tough, the transition to parenthood. I just remember the first weeks of our first son's life were just a haze, really. We just were fumbling through our new responsibilities and didn't know which way was up, basically. And there have been many other moments like that, especially I think probably the hardest point for me was when our second son was born and we were trying to juggle the needs of a newborn with an emotional 2.5-year-old. And I just felt like I spent my whole days battling. I was battling with the toddler who wouldn't listen, and I was battling with the baby who wouldn't sleep, and I was just really an anxious, sleep-deprived mess. I was desperate for guidance, and what made things worse is that my husband and I could never agree on how to improve our situation. And of course, when you go to the internet for guidance, it's a minefield. Just as you said, it's really difficult to make head or tail of the 10 things every parent must know and the 12 mistakes every new parent makes.
Absolutely. Yeah. And particularly if your husband and you are from slightly different backgrounds.
Definitely. We came from absolute opposite ends of the spectrum.
Mm. And some people might be thinking, you know, listening to this interview, well, does the world need another book on parenting? Do you think it's possible to have too much information?
Yes, I think we have too much information and too much advice, and that was part of my problem. I was just carried here and there by every article I read, and I didn't have a foundation or a framework for making sense of all that information. So what I needed to do and what I did is to step back, and I reread the whole Bible from start to finish to find out what was the big picture? What are we aiming for? What does it mean to be a human parent in all our imperfections? And what does it mean to be a parent who's also a child of God? What are Christian values exactly, and how do we pass them on to our kids? And what's the role of the wider community in our family, and how do we fit into the wider community as a family? So that's really helped me to step back from all of that parenting advice.
So what made you want to reach for the Bible to figure out how to parent, as opposed to, you know, all the myriad parenting experts and psychologists out there who normally give advice on this stuff?
Yeah, I think that we're just really caught up on the tiny details, and we need to look for some unchanging, timeless wisdom. At the time when I was just drowning in confusion, the lifeline for me was talking to my two grandmothers on the phone, because the things they said just really made sense. They weren't changing every 5 minutes depending on which article I read. They were time-tested principles. And I realized as I listened to their wisdom and advice that previous generations, their advice stemmed from a whole way of seeing the world. And in the West, in Australia, that way of seeing the world had grown out of a Christian worldview. And even if our ancestors didn't go to church or didn't have a personal faith, they still lived in a world that had been shaped by the Christian big ideas about who we are and why we're here. And so I thought, I'm going to reread the whole Bible and just see what I can gather about this worldview, this picture that seemed to make sense for my ancestors.
Has it been helpful for you personally to go on this journey of discovery?
Absolutely. It's completely changed my experience of parenthood. I've gone from being confused to having much greater clarity about what matters, what really matters. I don't feel confident because I'm suddenly getting everything right. I feel confident and clear-headed because I know what is my purpose and what are our family's values, where are we heading? And so we can decide for ourselves what really matters. I have felt a great freedom from the guilt I was feeling. I was just feeling guilty that maybe I was damaging our children, guilty because I wasn't perfect. But I've realized that we can come to God as little children and He forgives us and washes away our sin. So I've been freed from that need to be the perfect mother, to being a forgiven mother who's doing her best. And I've been freed also from a sense of fear, because I think often we feel fearful about how our children are going to turn out, whether we're scarring them for life. But coming to God's word helped me to replace that fear with trust, trusting God as the only perfect parent and trusting Him to do what I can't do for my children, trusting Him to help when I've reached the end of my human limitations. Yeah, it's really helped me to just have a clearer picture of who I am, who my kids are, who we are as a family and where we're heading.
That's really interesting. I'm speaking with Harriet Connor. She's the author of Big Picture Parents, Ancient Wisdom for Modern Life. So, Harriet, now that you've spent that year looking at the Bible, what have you learned? How have your attitudes to parenting changed? And I guess why do you think that parents need that big picture when making decisions about their family?
I think if we don't step back to see the big picture, it's very easy to get swept along by whatever fad is sweeping the internet that week. I think it's very easy to take on board the world's attitudes to parenting if we don't step back and think about the big ideas or the presuppositions that underlie our parenting.
So give me an example of that. What's something that you think you've changed now or that you've learned since you've taken on this challenge?
I guess to start with, well, I start the book talking about our purpose, because I think in our modern society, we are a bit confused about that. And the best we can do is really say, I think it's got something to do with happiness. I think most people are probably living as if the aim of life is to feel happy all the time.
Oh, so you think parents just want their kids to be happy all the time?
Well, I do think it filters down into our parenting. We just want to make our kids feel good, feel happy and successful all the time, because we've sort of picked up that maybe that's the main aim of being human. And so I think if we step back and think about that, it helps us to realize there's much more to being a parent than just making your children feel happy. It's actually about helping them to find their big purpose on earth, as revealed to us in the Bible. Experts are really starting to talk about happiness, because we're realizing that if you make happiness your primary aim, it actually doesn't work. That the first generation of kids who've grown up in this sort of feel-good generation are hitting adulthood and they actually don't have the skills needed to cope with the setbacks and disappointments of life in the real world. And the awful rates of depression and mental illness in the West are a sign that making happiness your primary aim isn't really working, because unfortunately the more we chase happy feelings, the less we seem to find them. So experts on happiness are starting to say that what makes genuine, long-lasting satisfaction or long-term happiness is actually not chasing good feelings and running away from bad ones, but connection. About feeling connected to other people and especially connected to your bigger purpose in life. I think as humans, we have this deep need to be part of something bigger. So that's one example, I guess, where, yeah.
And has that affected what you do practically? Is there anything that you've changed on a practical level?
Yeah, I guess I probably just used to hang off every emotion that my kids were feeling. I guess I'd always feel responsible for how they were feeling. And if they were upset about something, I might try to fix the problem straight away, or if they were bored, try to entertain them, or if they were hungry and impatient for dinner, just keep them happy by giving them something to eat or whatever the situation. We sort of rush to make them feel better all the time. And I think I used to have this underlying question, how are my children feeling? And I've just tried to change the way I think about those situations. And instead of focusing on their emotions, which at the end of the day aren't up to me anyway, focusing on what values are they learning. So if it's half an hour before dinner and they're saying I'm hungry, then I try to think, well, actually it's a good opportunity for them to learn patience. Or if we're in the car and they're bored, it's a good opportunity for them to learn how to be bored. I guess those kinds of everyday things where instead of trying to fix the problem for them or make them feel better, I might ask them to come up with a solution or just help them to practice, to keep practicing the things that we think are important in our family rather than just trying to fix the emotion.
And look, we hear a lot about Christian values and the importance of passing those on to our kids. Now that you've spent this year looking at the Bible, what do you think are the fundamental Christian values that are actually found in the Bible?
It is quite easy to sum up Christian values because the Bible sums it up with one little word, and that word is love. The Bible says that we're made to love God and to love our neighbour. And all the laws and regulations in the Bible are all just outworkings of that principle. How can we love God and how can we love the people around us? And I guess it's important to notice that in the Bible, love isn't primarily a feeling, but it's a genuine commitment to the good of other people. We're committed to doing good for them and not harm. And so I went back to, I guess, the sort of founding documents in the Bible that talk about values. I looked at the Ten Commandments, and then I looked at how Jesus interpreted the Ten Commandments in the Sermon on the Mount. And I think it's really interesting that what you might call family values are not actually at the top of the list. In the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments are all about our relationship with God, how to put Him first. And then the how that flows out in our relationships with other people.
So you're saying we don't all have to be part of a nuclear family?
Yeah, well, there's a much bigger purpose. And I guess the last part of my book is all about what family means in the Bible. And actually, there's no word for nuclear family in the Bible. It's a modern invention.
And look, I'd be interested to know, before you leave us, Harriet, your views on discipline. Now that you've spent this time immersed in a big picture of the Bible, did you come to any views on things like, you know, smacking and different approaches to discipline?
Definitely. I guess once again, we do get caught up on the tiny details or the one verse here, the one verse there, instead of what the whole Bible says, what the big picture is. So what I realized is that discipline in the Bible means much more than just punishment. Discipline includes all the things we do to help our children to grow up into our values. Discipline actually is more like discipling. It's all the things we do. It's modeling, it's teaching, it's training, it's encouraging. And then there's the negative side. There's the correcting or the boundary setting or letting children experience consequences for their actions. And so whether or not you smack is one tiny little part of how we train our children in our values, in our character, the things we think are important. So when it comes to smacking, it is a difficult issue for Christians. On one side, you've got Christians who point to some verses in Proverbs and they'll say that if you're not smacking, then you're disobeying God. But then you've got, on the other end, you've got Christians who listen to the advice of modern experts and think that maybe smacking is ineffective and open to abuse. And I think when we see these disagreements between Christians, what is important to do is to step back once again and focus on what we share, and what we share are our aims and goals for our children. We all want our children to grow up to independence and to be able to make their own wise decisions in life. And how we choose to get there exactly, I think, can be left up to each family. Some people choose to see the concept of the rod in Proverbs in a more figurative sense, that it represents discipline as a whole. It represents all the things that we do to help shape who our children are becoming.
To guide them, yeah.
That's right, guiding them. And whether or not we do that in a physical way, I think can be left up to individual families.
Okay, interesting to think about. Well, thank you so much for coming in and congratulations on the book going so well.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That is Harriet Connor. She's the author of Big Picture Parents, Ancient Wisdom for Modern Life.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.